afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is the ever-pounding Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Friday, June 21st, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy summer solstice, Melody.
It is. It is. It's a beautiful day down here on the eastern shore of Maryland. Some winds came in, dropped the humidity, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. And not sure what type of weather you're having up there in Pennsylvania.
About the same. Mid-70s, beautiful sunshine, about 10-mile-an-hour breezes. Just picture perfect and great eating out weather.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we got a lot to talk about today, and we're a little late in the beginning of the program today. Listeners, it's just been a hectic day here at Discount Gold and Silver, and of course people always get interested in gold when we have a little bit of a bump up like we've had. Gold certainly is hovering right at the $1,400 level. Of course, it was over New York spot price. Right now, we're looking at gold $1,399.50, had a high of $1,401.40. I'll take a look to see what the futures contracts show gold for today. So, a nice day in gold, currently up $10.60 to make it the $1,399.50. Silver, it was up higher, came back a little bit, but certainly off the low, $15.39, but it was down 9 cents. Platinum was up 2,812, and palladium was up 17 at 1507. And you have a little pressure on the dollar, 0.48 at 96.16. Crude oil was up another 56 cents at 57.63. Paper markets today, they were up 100 points most of the day, but couldn't hold it. The Dow was down 34 points, 26,718. The NASDAQ was down 19 at 8,031, and the S&P was down 3, 2,950. And, of course, we're still about 100 points away from an all-time high on the Dow. 10-year yield, that popped up a little bit more today, 2.07% after it broke down through 2 yesterday with all that Iran stuff going on. And, you know, it's just, my heart can't take it anymore, Dave. European, hey. Yeah, I know. European and Asian markets were all weaker across the board. And this is what emotion is driving the market with all. Somebody asked me today, Dave, if the increase in gold was due to the Iran conflict. And I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Because the emotion is driving the market. There's no fear whatsoever. It's continuing to move up to greed. And so I think that play. Now, if something had actually happened, but I think everybody knows. I mean, you'd have to be really... Well, you just have to be, I don't want to say stupid or dumb, but you're just not going to pull the trigger on Iran. This is not Iraq. This is not Libya. This is not all the other ones. This is not Venezuela. This is not Syria. And so this is a little bit different. And this is at a different time than even it was a year ago or 2 years ago. And so this is more about Israel. This is more about Saudi Arabia. This is about Russia. This is about China. A lot bigger consequences to come our way if something happened. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But I wanted to get those numbers off. And again, gold is moving on its own due to our economy, due to a weaker dollar. And the weaker dollar is really not that bad. I mean, it's still 96, still pretty high. You know, certainly not at the peak where we touched on, 103? Oh, when was that? Probably back, 2019, probably 2017, 2016, it went to 103. And that's when we saw gold at, 1,050. So, again, this is, gold is doing what it's supposed to do. It's reacting as a money. And, let's go ahead and get started, Dave. I did my little thing, 6-year peak for gold last night. Silver went to a three-month high. As I mentioned, we saw prices settle down a little bit. Remember, since the beginning of the year, gold is up $77 or 7.1%. Silver's up 24 cents or 1.7%. So not a bad trade for since the beginning of the year. And, of course, in the time period that started right after Jerome Powell's press conference on Wednesday afternoon, gold spiked $65 or 5% to $14.10. So it spiked. It didn't hold, but it spiked. And this is the highest since May of 2013. So a pretty nice showing for gold and silver, Dave.
Yeah, for sure. The skyrocketing prices, as you alluded to, came a day after the Fed suggested it would cut interest rates as early as late next month to keep the near record expansion going. And, you know, the same day as President Trump tweeted that Iran made a big mistake by shooting down one of our 100-plus million-dollar U.S. drones. As precious metal investors know, lower interest rates decrease the opportunity cost of holding non-yielding bullion and weigh on the dollar. It makes gold and silver cheaper, especially for investors holding other currencies. But the Fed signaled that it could cut rates starting as early at the end of July. It's when its policy-making Federal Open Market Committee meets next. Powell said the Fed is prepared to take on the increasing risk of a domestic and global slowdown as it continues taking stock of rising U.S.-China trade tensions and growing concerns about weak inflation that are still consistently below its core PCE inflation target of 2%.
Well, you know, Dave, the dollar did fall 1.1% the last 2 days against a basket of its rivals to 96.54, again, as of lunchtime today. And, of course, I updated that number here as we came into the break. But so there's a lot of monetary easing across the globe. Bond yields are lower, and this is all positive for gold. It's that simple.
Indeed. Indeed it is. And a number of analysts who follow gold and other precious metals believe that this is a bullish period upcoming for gold and silver, and of course we'll see, but certainly 1450 is now within reach, and who knows what lies beyond that. You know, its power as a safety trade isn't waning. We could actually be set to see a further spike in gold's price despite its, positive results the last couple of days. And particularly, if it there's one J.C. O'Hara, chief market technician at MKM Partners, said if gold pushes past its five-year trading range of 1,056 and 1,397, that'd be a major green light for prospective gold buyers. And guess what? As Melody mentioned, that upper range was breached last night, and we sit right around it, I think slightly above it as we speak after at least the paper markets have closed. Now, although we can't be sure, if this is the beginning of the coming gold and silver rush, when we know gold will soar above 2,000, 3,000, or more, what we are sure is this. You shouldn't wait for prices to get too high. Instead, ladies and gentlemen, buy your gold and silver today. Lock in these prices. Get more for your money.
You know, Dave, I hear a lot of people talking about this is the beginning of the gold rush and so forth. And you're right. You know, just exactly. We can't be sure this is it. What, we've seen the pressure that they can put on gold and silver. It ruins their accountability. It ruins their little plans and so forth. It takes away. Gold is a monitor of basically what they're doing. But what I do know is we actually entered, if you want to know what I believe we entered into the gold and silver rush, is when they took us off the gold standard. That was the beginning of the gold and silver rush. And because we continue to see it hold up our purchasing power over the years, and it really is the safe haven that beats any other type of paper like treasuries, or now people say Bitcoin. It's like,
oh God,
so
give me a break.
I know it. Anybody who sells cryptocurrencies and tell you that it's a safe haven, you got to be anyway. So
trust us, if we hear or read of anyone calling Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency a safe haven, we will have the pleasure of calling them out on the air. It's not, I mean, I hope that doesn't come across as arrogant. It's meant to be, there's just no way that something as speculative as cryptocurrency will ever be a safe haven. Don't jump from one risky asset to something far riskier. You know, if you want the real safe haven, call Melody at Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188.
All right, now let's get to the juice of the stories for today, because I have my own little conspiracy theory on this. And I know this was in the news, and I haven't talked, we've been busy all day long, and I haven't had a chance to talk to a lot of the customers, their thoughts on this, about President Trump calling off the airstrike on Iran. So I haven't had any feedback from our listeners. They were all busy buying gold. But this morning, President Trump said he was in no hurry to attack Iran. He called off missile strikes against the country with about 10 minutes to spare. It's kind of changing this story a little bit, Dave, you know, because now he's saying, oh, we had like a half hour, but I heard, like you, that it was a little bit sooner than later. But in a bunch of tweets today, the president said he called off the strike because he believed the attack would have been disproportionate to Iran's downing of an unmanned American surveillance drone. Then why would you go to the steps of even creating a possible strike? I mean, this should have been the first word of the generals. Like, hello. He says, we were cocked and loaded to retaliate last night on three different sites when I asked how many will die. I'll guarantee you the generals told him how many they would die in the very beginning. If they didn't, then they shouldn't be generals and they shouldn't be advising him. That's so you can't tell me that this is the real reason. Trump wrote 150 people was what the generals told him. 10 minutes before the strike, he stopped it. Not proportionate to shooting down an unmanned drone. He's in no hurry. Our military is rebuilt, new, and ready to go. By far the best in the world. Who is he trying to convince? Trump also said he preferred to move forward with economic pressure. Sanctions are biting, and more added last night. Iran can never have nuclear weapons, not against the United States and not against the world. And just let me know when you're ready to have me tell my conspiracy theory, Dave.
Well, let me just mention one or two things here, and then the mic is all yours. I mean, we know the Treasury Department hasn't announced new sanctions. Secretary of the Treasury Steve Mnuchin was scheduled to deliver remarks in Florida this morning. I haven't read anything about that as of airtime, but you know, we're reading that the president had approved attacks on targets, military targets like radar and missile batteries installations. You know, this is all over a disputed location of this American drone. It was down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile yesterday. Iran claims it was flying over its waters. Our people claim that based on satellite photos, it was in international waters. Either way, here's the key. This incident ratchets up geopolitical tension in a region of the world that's already war weary. Melody, I think it's time
Well, I want you to
listeners heard your thoughts.
interject too, because I could be totally off the page. But when this was all being announced yesterday, well, when this was happening, and they were talking, and I heard where that the briefing, everyone was going to the briefing room, and everybody was all anxious, and there was a lot of reports. They were going to check out, check with the allies, to make sure, because we couldn't go to war with Iran. We couldn't do this without the support of the allies, our allies. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it without the support of Europe. And they have that agreement with Iran. They're still, they're still in that agreement. So, you need their support. And what was also interesting is this is all happening when you have the Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau also at the White House. And lots of times it's funny because we bombed Syria when President Trump had the President Xi down in Mar-a-Lago. I think there was another incident where he had another leader. And I'll finish this up when we come back from the break. I wasn't watching the time. We're just way behind all day long. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Today's special is 1 ounce American Gold Eagles at $30 over spot, $30 over spot. It's a great deal. I can't remember the last time. If you buy one, it's $30. I mean, it's incredible. That's how premiums dropped. And that's what really is I'm excited about, to see such a strong move in gold. And so, because the premiums are so low, but they're going to start moving up, And so get it while you can. And I'm going to say this. So you buy today. It's at $1,400, so you're looking at $1,430. So what if gold drops to $1,350? I mean, this isn't something that you're buying today only to sell next week. This is something that you're converting your paper dollars into real money. This is your savings account. It's protecting your purchasing power. So you go in and you buy. And heck, even if gold dropped to $1,350, look at the savings. 2 weeks ago, the premium, and it's not my premiums that dropped, it was the wholesale companies that dropped. The market prices drop the premiums on these coins, not mine. I charge the same thing regardless whether the premiums are higher or lower. So 3 weeks ago, they were $59 over spot. So there's a $30 savings right off the top. So you can't look at it as, you know, every time I buy, the price goes down, and you can't do that. And so if you're looking to convert those dollars, do so and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Heading into the break, you know, we were talking about what had happened with Iran and the quick pullback. And thank God there's been a quick pullback and that there was that the strike was called off, because it's going to be nasty. But my view on this is I don't believe, and again, this is not a negative view on the administration or President Trump. I believe that they were going to be heading, whether he was being guided by Trump, not by Trump, by Pompeo or Bolton, and whoever else was there in the briefing room prior to all this, he had made the decision to do this. You don't gather this amount of ships, jets, bombers, whatever they had together, and say 20 minutes or 10 minutes, oh, we're not going to do it because we're going to kill 150 people. I don't believe that was the reason whatsoever. I don't think he had backing of the allies. And I also think he didn't have backing from Bibi Netanyahu. Because, you know, if Israel was struck, probably the first place they would lash out at would be Israel. And Bibi has a nice relationship with President Trump and Jared Kushner. And I believe that they're ready to release the Mideast peace plan that we've been waiting to hear. So that would all go up in smoke if we did this. And I had mentioned yesterday, once we heard that, or maybe it was Wednesday when we heard that the drone was shot down, I figured they would do some sort of a target strike somewhere, where just like they did in Syria, you know, nobody gets hurt, everybody's warned prior to and so forth and whatnot, so nobody does get hurt, and, you know, they go through the motions and, you know, slam their hands on the table and we're strong, we're going to get you if you continue to do this. And, you know, it doesn't lead to World War III. I don't know where this would have led if we had done so and we didn't have the support of the allies. But I think someone pulled the strings, and I don't think it was President Trump. Someone said, you're not going to do this. I think it's related to the Mideast peace plan that they plan on. But that's my thoughts.
Very plausible, Melody.
You know, and it was, to me, I think it's a scary situation. Whether we had gotten that close, last time we gotten that close to nuclear war would have been with Kennedy, right?
Well, that we know of.
And again, we're not really told about the truth. I mean, they withhold the information. I'm not saying we are not told the truth, but they withhold the information. We really don't know what's going on. But there's a lot of, I don't know if this is appropriate, but there's a lot of flies in the ointment. There's a lot of You know, so that's my possible theory on what might have happened.
Democracy is messy.
But the thing we can say is, thank God it didn't happen.
Yes.
And is it going to happen tomorrow or next week? Maybe. But perhaps we'll have a little more support from the allies and so forth. But we'll see how this plays out, though. And I think by next week, Dave, this is all going to be forgotten. Unless another incident happens.
It's quite possible. I think, you know, the fact that Iran announced earlier in the week that, you know, it was going to exceed its, you know, permissible uranium supply, that in 10 days, I mean, that could cause some agita among the allies that are and others that are still in the JCPOA. But, you know, with each passing day and no further action, you know, I think the chances of your suggestion that, you know, it fades away is increasingly likely.
Yeah. So, interesting, and no one can guess. Those are just my theories and, you know, perhaps what happened. But yeah, it was not due to 150 people being killed. But that's what he had to say. They came up with a reason for him to back down and save face. And so we're going to go back to finances, Dave.
Well, here's some confirmation, ladies and gentlemen, something that Melody's been saying for a long time. CNBC's Jim Cramer, who we're not a big fan of, besides the fact that he's a Philly boy, he said today that companies are having a much harder time during the ongoing U.S.-China trade war than the stock market shows. He observes the real world is much worse than the stock market indicates. Melody, you've been saying that for months, over a year. Out of the dozens of company executives he's spoken with, the Mad Money host said that not one of them has indicated to him they're expecting a stronger quarter since trade tensions between the U.S. and China have escalated. Cramer said, I literally do not have one company that is having a better quarter in the second quarter, presumably. Companies across the retail, lending, materials, and housing markets have noted increasing pressure from Washington and Beijing, placing billions of dollars worth of punitive tariffs on each other's imports. And we'll talk a little bit more shortly about how much these trade policies are beginning to cost Americans.
You know, Cramer had also said that he would rather say that the stock market is wrong than say that the real economy is wrong. And, of course, we're heading into next week with the G20 summit in Japan. That'll be an interesting one with all of the, you know, they wouldn't have been able to hold this meeting if they would have done that. So I'm sure, forget the trade agreement being the topic conversation during that G20 summit. It's going to be Iran, I'll guarantee you. But there we go. You know, more confirmation that the world economies are not doing as well as, and they need all that stimulus just to continue. U.S. trade policies have cost us tens of billions of dollars through April. There are some new estimates, and this is even before these major tariff escalations took place. Now, the price tag of duties that was levied by the White House has added up to nearly $22 billion. And that was before Trump more than doubled the tariff rate on $200 billion worth of Chinese products back in May. This year is just mind-boggling. That was May was just last month.
I know, right?
Yeah. But Senator Chuck Grassley, who is leading efforts to craft a bill that would seek to rein in these trade powers, have given some kind of an estimate. And They have assessed more than $15 billion in tariffs on China and more than $6.5 billion from those levied on steel and aluminum. And this is from the U.S. Customs and Border Protections. They assessed this.
Yeah, at a Senate Finance Committee hearing on Tuesday, Grassley, who's a Republican from Iowa, said, "To be clear, American importers and consumers are paying for these tariffs. $22 billion out of the pockets of hardworking Americans is not in our national best interest." Those are his words. Now, while the president and his administration claim the tariffs hurt foreign exporters, evidence suggests that business and consumers at home pay the price. Adam Ozimek, who's a chief economist at a place called Upwork, said the Trump administration's learning that it's hard to punish someone else by taxing yourself. He added that tariffs harm the domestic economy in addition to those we are imposing them on, so it's difficult to really damage major trading partners significantly without doing a similar amount of economic damage at home.
And you know what's really, the American businesses have been hit, and we all know the farmers, the Department of Agriculture, they expect farm exports to fall by nearly $2 billion to $141 billion in fiscal 2019. I had no idea it was $141 billion.
Yeah, that's what the value of total farm exports or will be this year, according to that estimate by the Department of Agriculture.
But it's going to hurt, and I don't think we've seen all the pain. And this is just a leveling of the playing field, and it's going to cost us. And it's going to cost, I don't think there's, any group that won't be affected by it. It's just those that can absorb it a little more than others. So something else, Dave, and this is kind of interesting, where the Pentagon, we're going to switch gears again, ladies and gentlemen. The Pentagon is hitting back at Russia. They have criticized a U.S. plan. Because Russian officials, let me get this straight. I'm all excited about it, the gold prices. The U.S. Department of Defense, they hit back at the Russian officials because they've criticized a U.S. plan to deploy more troops in the Middle East. I need more coffee. Or maybe I've had too much. A Pentagon official said that the deployment is not a provocation, and that it's Russia that seeks to revise the world order. And Russia rebuked the U.S. after it announced on Monday to plan to send 1,000 extra troops to the Middle East. U.S. relations, of course, deteriorated sharply with Iran. And Iran denies a lot of the accusations about attacking the oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman last week, Dave.
Well, Russia reacted angrily to the U.S.'s plan on Tuesday, including, the country's deputy foreign minister. It warned the U.S. that it was tantamount to a military provocation. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov urged all sides to show restraint. Now, the Pentagon defended its decision to deploy the troops and said it was Russia that sought to destabilize the Middle East. Lieutenant Colonel Carla Gleason, who's a Pentagon spokesperson, said, "This deployment isn't a provocation. The additional troops are for defensive purposes to address air, naval, and ground-based threats in the Middle East." She adds that Russia seeks to revise the world order and reject the international system that's enabled peace for decades. We'll talk a little bit more about further evidence of her comments in Africa after a break.
Well, I was going to go in there now, because I find that, and the reason I think this is interesting, Dave, is because I saw a report where Zimbabwe, now I don't think this is, but it brings me of that area, they're seeking to replace their currency. We all know the inflation issues they had several years back. We also know that the only way they were able to get out of their inflationary problems was they brought in the U.S. dollar, and that's what helped them to get to this point with IMF funding and everything, and now they want to replace their currency. So I kind of find that a little interesting, and I don't know how this all works with Russia. As we know, Putin recently bought himself into an African country for a relative pittance. He has a partner in crime, and there's no way I can pronounce that name, Dave.
Yevgeny Prigozhin. He's known as Putin's chef.
His chef?
Yeah, he caters. he caters among his. I don't know if he actually cooks, but he coordinates catering for Putin, and I suppose he coordinates other activities as well.
That's funny. I did not know that. And do we have a short name for him so I don't have to say that name? Or
we'll call him the chef.
The chef.
I'd call him the chef.
All right, the chef. Which is Putin's partner in crime, and we are heading into a break in just 30 seconds. But Putin won an insider's influence over the strategically placed Central African Republic and priority access to its oil, diamonds, gold, and uranium reserves. So the story goes that the Republic's president, Tudera, though elected fairly in 2016, was struggling to exert control over much of the nation's territory. And soldiers from a UN peacekeeping mission were working to stabilize the country and amid clashes between rival militias. And Dave, I'll let you finish this up and bring this article to a close, because it really is fascinating when we come back from our breaks. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back to gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Yeah, I'm all excited today with the prices of gold. Everybody's buying, and it was mostly a gold day. There weren't very many silver buyers today. They were all gold. They were all going after a special of $30 over spot. So there you go.
It's Dave, golden.
It's golden. And you were going to finish up, bring it to a close as far as Russia and Africa.
Yeah, as Melody was saying before the break, you know, talking about the Central African Republic and how their president was having such a hard time stabilizing the country when this guy, Yevgeny Prigozhin, stepped in with, you know, offers of money, training, paramilitary support, etc. Now, just as a quick aside, this is the same guy who was indicted by Robert Mueller for funding, you know, a social media troll factory back in 2016. Just, you know, as a point of information. Now, Russia also provided the Republic's president and his national security advisor, who happens to be Russian intelligence agent Valery Zakharov, who serves him to this day. Serves the Republic's president, not Vladimir Putin. You know, welcome to our new era of major power competition, which is playing out globally, sometimes quietly, and sometimes colorfully like this. But what this story is meant to do is just show further evidence that America's major rivals, autocratic Russia and China, are acting with greater operational creativity and strategic purpose than a lot of their counterparts, namely France and the U.S. Now, you know, Washington is reportedly discarded, you know, this resource-rich country. You know, it's poised strategically between Africa's Muslim North and its Christian South. It was a place of marginal importance. And guess who's now struggling or scrambling to get back involved? This is a very interesting development. We've talked about China's growing involvement in Northern Africa. We have further evidence now of Russia's as well. So we'll certainly be following these trends, Melody, and we'll report to our listeners in the future as you know, new news develops.
Great, super. Earlier this week, we had the European Central Bank, Draghi.
Yeah, you know, we reported on Monday, you know, how our president, you know, sort of lashed out at Draghi, who's head of the European Central Bank, you know, accusing him of unfairly targeting the, you know, the euro's exchange rate. And, you know, now Draghi sort of shouting back at our president. You know, Draghi said, hey, we have our mandate. Our mandate's price stability, defined as a rate of inflation, which is close to but below 2% over the medium term. And we don't target the exchange rate. He said that to applause from his crowd. You know, Trump has said that they've been getting away with this for years, you know, along with China and others, making it unfairly easier for them to compete against the U.S. So now, you know, the euro did drop 0.2% against the dollar in a matter of minutes as Draghi delivered those remarks earlier in the week. Now it's since moved back up a little bit today, but we will also be following this in the future too, particularly, you know, in concert with our Fed's you know, newer and more recent you know, comments about easing interest rates as early as next month.
You know, I want to get to this. I saw this this article today, Dave, about companies moving out of China.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I mean, we've been hearing a little bit about it, but not a whole lot of detail. But, you know, we know, for example, Apple has been considering moving up to almost a third of their production from China to other places in Southeast Asia. You know, they're the latest company to join a small but growing list of companies that are evaluating their supply chains in the region, you know, of course, amid continued trade tensions with the U.S. And while the war between the U.S. and China spurred that decision of Apple, Apple's reportedly intending to restructure its manufacturing operations even if a resolution is reached. You know, at the same time, you know, that Trump and Xi are scheduled to meet at the G summit next week. You know, their top trade deputies are expected to relaunch talks, you know, after they broke down in May following accusations of the Chinese allegedly backtracking on things they had previously agreed to.
Well, you know, there are some that are moving out of China, and the article listed, I don't know, about 10 of them or something like that. I do believe there was two on that list that was at least moving to the U.S., but with notations, Dave, saying that, you know, it's all automated and going to be robotic. So maybe they're hiring 500 people. But in a normal world, or the old world without technology and robotics, it might have been 5,000.
Yeah, but, how about it?
Yeah, tell us about those companies.
Well, we've got GoPro. That's the action camera company. It's moving the bulk of its production out of China, but they're going to Mexico. There's Hasbro, the toy maker. They too are shifting most of their production out of China to Mexico, but also some to Vietnam and India. The footwear and handbag maker Steve Madden, which ships most of its goods from China, is shifting production to nearby Cambodia. Stanley Black & Decker, you know, produces the Hallmark Craftsman brand. They're one of the companies Melody mentioned that's coming to back to the U.S., opening a new facility in Fort Worth, Texas, adjacent to Dallas. Brooks Running, popular shoe maker. It's owned by Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway. Another company moving from China to Vietnam. There's Whirlpool. That's the second company that's moving from China to U.S. They're the maker of the Whirlpool and KitchenAid brand appliances. And then finally, Intel. You know, their CEO earlier this month said that the company is reviewing its supply chain and whether production can be shifted out of China. So they haven't quite made the decision yet, but Intel, I would think, would be you know, a big loss for China, particularly as, you know, they continue to, you know, claim they're out to be, you know, the tech kings of the 21st century in a decade or so. So there you got it's starting. It's starting, Melody, and it'll be interesting to see what other companies hop on board with this new trend.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, because the one question you're going to have, is China just going to let these companies go, or, you know, is there anything? What I also found fascinating was so many of them were going to Mexico.
Yeah, how about it?
So much for a new trade agreement. I mean, you know, it's, you know, it just, Mexico shocked me. because even their wages would be higher than what it would be in Asia.
Well, it will be interesting. I don't know the history behind Intel, for example, if when Intel went into China, you know, what specific technology did it have to give up, you know, to get China's permission to do business there. So it'll be interesting to see that as more of these large companies decide to move out and move on, you know, if the U.S. will be able to use that as leverage, and perhaps they're already planning to, or perhaps they already have as part of, you know, our demand that China stop, quote, stealing our technology, our corporate secrets. That, of course, our companies give up in exchange for the ability to open up more business there.
Yeah. So, well, I don't, you know, just ask you if you, how is that going to stop if the corporations are just willing to give that information? But I find this interesting, Dave. Supreme courts are making it easier for landowners to sue.
Yeah, it's an interesting personal or private property rights issue. You know, it's a not surprisingly a 5-4 divided Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court has made it easier for landowners to sue for compensation when a government regulation reduces the value of their property. What's particularly interesting about this, besides the case itself, which we'll get to in a second, is that it overturns a decades-old precedent that had limited these kinds of lawsuits, state lawsuits, in federal court. Now, again, they voted 5-4 along ideological lines, liberal, conservative. The court held that property owners could go straight to a federal judge without first seeking compensation through state proceedings. That's been a long-held practice. You know, the decision in Nick v. Township of Scott, it's a Pennsylvania community, reversed a 34-year-old Supreme Court ruling, which not surprisingly prompted a sharp dissent from the court's liberal wing. Writing for the majority, Chief Justice John Roberts said the 1985 ruling placed an unjustifiable burden on property owners, preventing many of them from ever reaching federal court.
You know, and that's because the resolution of a state court proceeding generally precludes any federal lawsuit over the constitutional ban on government taking a private property without just compensation. And Roberts continues to write. He says that the takings plaintiff thus finds himself in a catch-22. He can't go to federal court without going to state court first, but if he goes to state court and loses, his claim will be barred in the federal court. So the ruling is a victory for Rosemary Nick. This is the Pennsylvania woman you mentioned, whose rural property includes a small family graveyard. So she was suing over a local ordinance that requires all cemeteries to be kept open to the public during daylight hours. And, of course, dissenting Justice Elena Kagan said the decision would channel a mass of local cases involving complex state law issues into federal courts. Crimea River, you know.
It is kind of amazing that when you learn, you know, the nature of the lawsuit, that it reached the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But, I mean, on the other hand, I mean, it just seems so unreasonable and kind of surprising that a deal wouldn't have been worked out, because it couldn't have been cheap for this municipality, you know, to fight this, to pay an attorney, whether it's their solicitor or a special lawyer, to take this up through all the different courts and, you know, change the stinking ordinance, make a exception for some cemeteries, you know, on private property like this. I mean, you know, I guess something must have happened, right? That, you know, family member of mine, you know, was buried there, and I guess maybe, you know, one of their family members wanted to go visit there, and maybe she said, no, you can't come on my property. And, you know, it'd be interesting to know exactly how this came about. But, you know, as it turns out, you know, it's not about the issue per se. You know, it's about, you know, the courts turn it into, you know, these complex state law issues.
Well, you know, good for her for fighting it.
How about it?
Good for her. Sometimes good old Pennsylvanians, you know, we're pretty sturdy.
Sometimes you can fight and beat City Hall, right?
And you're right. It is really sad that it had to go all the way to the Supreme Court for something as simple as the ruling over a small family graveyard.
Well, it is. This is the interesting part. We won't get into this on today's program, not the least of which because we're short on time. But, you know, the big concern among some people who followed this ruling in that the Supreme Court overturned a 30-plus year precedent is Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we'll be right back. Oh, we won't be right back. We'll be right back on Monday. It is the end of the day, and I'm out of here. Thank you, Dave, for joining me. Thank you, each and every one of you, for taking the time out to listen to this program. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.